What's up, guys, and welcome to Truth with Tara. I'm Tara Simon, and for the first time, I'll be interviewing a manager today on the show. This is Brandon Breitenbach. Am I saying that right, by the way?
You absolutely correct. That was amazing. I nailed it.
Yes. Great. So glad I practiced. Wasn't sure. So Brandon is actually the manager of recording artists Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake. And I am very interested to talk to you today as an artist myself. And I know there's a lot of singers and artists out there who really want to know some things about the management side. Everybody that sings seems to feel immediately that they need a manager. And I'm always telling them, like, as a vocal coach and as someone who develops artists and tries to get them ready for someone like you, you have to have something to manage first before you need a manager, because you guys work off of percentages. And if you're not making enough for that pie to split, well, you're not going to get them out of bed in the morning. Would you say that's correct advice?
I think it's very accurate advice. Yes. I feel like there's two sides of that. Yes, it is correct that you want to have somebody who's excited to get out of bed in the morning and to partner with you, work alongside of you to help champion what you're going after, 100%. And I think that's so much the core of the relationship between a manager, an artist, musician, whatever it is. It's really a partnership between both of you, because there's going to be sacrifices on both sides that are being made to further the career. And so, yes, I think it's in some aspects, there are folks that, you know, wait until you can't handle it any longer. Like you're just like, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of requests, amount of things that need to happen. People who, you know, are needing my attention, needing answers on things. I think that's a great indicator of when you need help. And then there's also on the flip side, like there's some artists that are just wildly talented, and somehow these happenstances of just like a manager and artist kind of meet well before there's even any request, and they both kind of agree like, hey, like let's partner on the ground level together and kind
we're
of
gonna
see
go
what
on
happens.
This journey together.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna go on it together. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. That makes sense. So how did you even get into management? Because it's kind of a funny thing. Like not many people that are in the music industry initially want to be on the back end. They want to be the front and center on the stage. So tell me your journey to that.
Yeah, which is wild. I grew up in the church. I always loved music, but I loved business. In kindergarten, I asked my parents for a briefcase and a sports coat. Like I wanted to be just like my dad.
I love that.
My dad, wow, it's wild. It's got me. My dad, I look up to quite a bit. He's an extremely hardworking guy. Was always up first thing in the morning to make sure that he did everything in his power to take care of his family. I wanted to be like him and what he did, and he worked really hard. I gained a lot of that from him over the years. And so,
don't apologize. That's so real. I love it. Yeah, that's so good.
My dad's amazing and, counted, you know, still a blessing that he's, here and still part of, you know, deep part of my life and now my kids' lives and all the things. So anyway, backing up, I loved business, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was always taking my briefcase and sports coat to school, always trying to find a way to make money. I remember very vividly selling my brother's bike parts to our neighbor friends just to try to make some money, or going to the flea market and selling anything I could. I'm a full-bred entrepreneur. I knew that, but I also loved creative. And I loved so many different aspects of creative, whether that was music, video, design. I loved it all. And it was kind of interesting growing up. I was like, I don't understand why I love all of this. And I kind of feel like I'm good at a lot of things, but not really a master of one. But anything I did, I always wanted to go 100% and go all in on. But then as I was growing up, I fell in love with music, and I taught myself how to play guitar, piano, bass, all the different
nice.
Things.
Wow.
And so I got to understand music, and then I got to understand production, whether that was, you know, working the soundboard or whatnot within church. And so I started helping my little band. I'm the oldest of five. So I'm,
okay.
Yeah, I'm a leader.
Oldest of four.
Yeah, I'm a leader. I'm taking care of everybody else. If
yes,
nobody else knows
correct.
What to do, I'll drag them along. We'll figure it
You're
out
the
together.
I got it guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I got
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden, all these things started clicking. Like, oh, I've got this little band, and I've got it. I can figure it out. I mean, I'm dating myself here, but I had the, you know, manila envelope that had the MapQuest directions in it, and we were going to some random place to play some random show. And hopefully
wow.
people would show up, you know. That
oh my gosh, so like, wow.
Yeah, pretty wild. I remember the first tour that I did with a bunch of friends. I mean, we were fresh out of high school, and we got into this van and trailer and just started driving around the country of these places that they said that they would have us, but we'd have no idea what we were getting ourselves into. I mean, this was, you know, obviously pre-cell phones, pre, you know, everything,
right.
and just kind of showing up. But then I noticed every time we'd show up, I'd always be the one making it happen, you know, coordinating with the folks. And I would be in the band, but I loved everything off the stage so much more.
Wow.
And so that's when it started clicking. And then all of a sudden I started
interesting.
Meeting some of these larger bands that had managers. And I was like, what's a manager do? And they would tell me, I'd be like, that's what I'm going to do one day. I knew it.
Like, okay. Well, what does a manager do though? Like most people don't really know, like what actually does a manager do?
The manager is a true partner with the artist in helping them further their career and where they want to go and helping them reach their goals and helping them bring ideas to life. That's the motto that I live by. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And so anything that I can do to help bring an idea to life that especially makes his name known, like count me in. And so, you know, most of what I do in the day to day is dream alongside of our artist and then empower this incredible team that's around me to do what we can to pull off these wild ideas. I mean, it could be anything from, hey, we want to get some these big massive flags made and we want to fly them over, you know, the beach and like, let's get like this plane to drive, you know, flying by and all the things. You're just like, okay. And like, let's do it
okay.
tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. You're like, okay.
Okay.
So we're going to figure
Make
this out.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously
wow.
there's, you know, comes a time when you have to be like, that's not realistic, but maybe in a few days.
Right. But I love the spirit.
Yeah, exactly. We do what we can. And so I think in management, that's really, if I had to sum it up, it's we bring ideas to life and partner alongside of our artist to do that. So
speaking of your artists, right, Phil and Brandon, how did you mm-hmm. come into their sphere? What was that intro like? Was it natural? Did you reach out? Did they reach out?
Yeah, very natural. I've worked alongside of Phil for the last 13 years, initially okay. in a capacity of as a tour manager for him, and then really moved into more day-to-day stuff. And then coming up on, 3 years now of managing him. And it's been a wild ride. The last 13 years, we've really, really grown up together. In a sense of, you know, newly married
that.
And starting having kids and figuring out life and our both of our careers kind of going. It's wild.
Yeah.
But that all happened through Phil's brother-in-law. He knew that I kind of ran in this world and Phil was looking for somebody to fill that void, and Phil's brother-in-law connected us and the rest is history. Brandon Lake, it's such a fun story because we invited Brandon to come out to be a part of this live stream that Phil was doing. And, you know, Phil gave me Brandon's number directly. I'm like, hey, Brandon, like, we'd love to have you out on this, all the things. And then I started apologizing to Brandon, like, hey, who on your team can I talk to and can work this stuff out? And he's like, oh, brother. He's like, it's just me. I'm just trying to figure all this out myself. And this is like post Graves in the Gardens. I mean, I'm talking like the guy is like, you know, he has a very established
wow.
career. Yes.
Wait. We need to pause there. We need to stop and really let that sink
yeah.
in, people. Okay.
Yeah.
So for you singers and artists listening right now, Brandon Lake's first really mm-hmm. huge breakout hit, really,
mm-hmm.
that's when I heard of him, was mm-hmm. Graves into Gardens, which is,
yeah.
by the way, in my anthems playlist that I listen to every single day.
Come on.
And And he was managing and doing it all himself post Graves into Gardens.
Yes. Yeah, I'm the first manager he's ever worked with, and that was 2.5 years ago when we started working
together. He didn't even have an assistant. No. He didn't have a nothing.
He had a label that he worked with, and the label did an incredible job on the music label side of things. I mean, right. You know, which is awesome. And they definitely had some, I can't discount this. They definitely had some structure for sure to help him with some day-to-day things. But he, I mean, was carrying 90% of the load between honestly him and his wife. And in that conversation, I apologize. It's like, man, like, I'm so sorry. I mean this wholeheartedly. I didn't look all of a sudden and be like, ooh, Brandon Lake, I can manage him.
Right.
I had freshly just kind of moved into full-time management with Wickham, just probably 6 to 8 months prior. And I really thought like, I'm going to give all of what I have to fill over these next couple of years and really, continue to build off what we've been building off the last 10 years prior. And, I just said, man, as a friend, if you ever just need somebody to talk to, like I'm here, I'm open. And just would love to just be, just a voice in your world and help guide and direct. He's like, man, like I'd love to take you on that. He's like, can I call you next week? I'm like, I guess, sure. Like, call me. And he calls me and just like rapid fire a bunch of stuff. And I'm just like, we're talking through a bunch of things and, some different transitions he was going through, or just like, he was just like, man, I don't even have a website. Like, I'd love to just have like maybe some merchandise. Or he's like, how do I establish my business? And, and it was like,
my mind is blown right now.
And then even and Brandon, if you ever hear this, like, don't feel like this is anything against you. I love this part of you. So you know the Notes app, on an iPhone. Brandon had one note that he'd keep all of his requests and information in for Brandon Lake Music. So there was one note. And he's like, can I share this note with you? Because this has my calendar on it. So he didn't use a calendar. He used the one note. And in that one note, there's like Elevation Tour, Maverick City Tour, Phil Wickham Tour. Like, this is when I'm supposed to be in the studio. All on this one note. And I'm like, oh, brother, I love you so much. And I am obviously God is on your side. Because how you've been able to do this. Exactly. He just simplified it.
Word.
He just simplified. He's like, if I can just keep it all right here, I know where it's at, and I can do what I can to manage it and serve it well. But anyway, so through some conversations, he's like, man, like, I really did feel in my heart, he was a very special human. I said, man, like, I'd love to just continue helping how I can. Yeah. And I said, but like, what's most important to me is I really want to know who your family is. And like, I want to meet your wife. I want to meet your boys. And like, get a better idea of what this thing is that you're going after and what you want to do. And so, can I fly out to South Carolina and meet them? He's like, of course. He's like, let me send you some dates. He sent me some dates. And I think one of the best parts of all this, just God's kindness. He sent me dates. It was like a Wednesday, Thursday. And that Friday, Saturday, Phil had two shows that were within 45 minutes of his house. Like, it just so happened to be that same weekend.
Oh my gosh.
In South Carolina. And I just remember getting that message of being like, okay, God, like, you're doing something here. And I'll continue to move forward. I went out and we went to soccer games, basketball games, like their kids actually playing in soccer games, basketball games, went to dinners together. And then we just, we sat up at night and just talked about life and, you know, career and kind of his dreams and aspirations and just all the things. And, you know, the next day, I'm pretty avid in fitness. I love working out and pushing the limits when it comes to that.
That's awesome.
And we went to the gym the next morning and we left there and I was like, so like, I'm not asking you to sign anything, but like, do you want to try this out and just kind of see what happens as a team? And he's like, yeah. And in that moment he goes, you know what we are? He goes, we're the B team. I said, that's right. We're the B team.
Yeah, you are.
And we have a thing. We do have a saying now. It wasn't in that moment, but now years later, we say that we're the B team. that operates like an A team. And so,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you did there. So so clever.
And I said, let's just have some fun and figure this out. And so honestly, the first thing we did together, it's funny, he didn't have a website or a web store or anything like that. He had a brand new song coming out, a song called Too Good to Not Believe. And I was like, when's the song coming out? I think it's next Friday. I'm like, okay. And so we literally got the design from the cover, which looks incredible. The designer did an outstanding job. I was like, let's put this on like a t-shirt and kind of see what happens. And we put it up on the t-shirt and we kind of let social media know like, hey, like going to drop Brandon Lake's first shirt, blah, blah, blah. And we put it up and within a few minutes, Shopify closed the store down. Like literally probably within 2 or 3 minutes of it being live because they thought it was fraud. There was just so many people hitting the website and wanting this that all of a sudden, because it was a brand new store, it was a brand new website. And,
right.
And so anyway, that started
no sales history.
No. And so that started our journey of just having fun and figuring it out. And here we are, 2.5 years later, which is a wild thing to say, and I'm just so proud of everything that he's done and Brittany and his boys and that his family are accomplishing, you know, on and off stage. And right. Then too for, you know, my team here, I mean, I manage two incredible artists, but it's not without an incredible staff that I have who works really right next to me, seven just incredible people who handle so much of the day-to-day. I could see my executive assistant, Lauren, just on the other side, and she bears Aww. With me. She does bear with me through it all.
That's awesome.
And just couldn't do it without them. So
let's talk about that as a one-man show at first, who really was a musician who just loved business. And I so resonate and relate to that. There are very few of those people, by the way. Like, musicians are usually musicians. They wake up at 11. They stay, like, their house is usually a mess. It's like this whole thing, right? This stigma for a reason. And I don't relate to that. I'm up at 5. I'm, like, at the grind.
There you
5
go.
5 a.m. club. Yes. Yeah. It's rare. You see. It's a different mentality. But I find it really interesting how, you know, you came from that one spot as a singular musician who loved the entrepreneurial side and all things music. And then you talk about how now you have a team of 7. That's a very like quick before and after. Tell me how you scaled to 7 and then this is more like business talk now. Like, how did you find those people? Was that organic too? Or were you like Upwork and Fiverr in it? Like, what was the process there to find those people? And how do you maintain a good culture of availability and making sure you're still there for them? Yeah.
You are hitting on what has been so top of mind for me over these last couple months. It is wild. Because yes. So I manage two incredible artists, and I really do look at it that I'm partners with them, managing their businesses alongside of them.
I see that.
And what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so there's two businesses over here that I'm running, and then there's my own business that I'm running. So there's really
That's
three
a smart
companies
way to look at it.
Three companies that I'm associated with and in kind of in charge of. And then each one of those has multiple, I mean, for the guy side of things, you're thinking there's booking, there's publishing, there's a label, then there's their whole touring crew. So there could be 40 people, 50 people underneath of each of them. And then my, you know, team of, you know, 7, 8, if you include me. And they're all looking to me. And, you know, it can be daunting in some days, you know, for sure. Because I want to do everything in my power to serve all of them well. Like at the end of the day, I want to serve each of them well and ensure that they're getting the best of me and the best of each other and all the things. And so when it comes to the bright side of things, because it's still so new, I really do think that we're still establishing the foundation. And I'm okay with that. I'm a builder. I love building, but I also really love playing in the dirt. And so I see nice. Where we're at right now is still establishing who we are as a company and as, you know, within Bright on that side, building the foundation. And so when it came to finding people, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I just asked my friends locally. And I was just like, I need help. Like, who do you know that's great in these things that I need help with? And they just they just came about. I mean, Lauren, again, my executive assistant, is a great example. We were on a show in North Carolina, and with Phil, actually Phil and Brandon were both on that show. And our tour manager was like, hey, this girl, Lauren, she's absolutely crushing it on the event coordination side of things. And I think she's looking for like a full-time gig. And I literally found her, was like, do you want a full-time job? Just like point blank, like, you know, they recommend you.
Yeah.
You sound awesome. You know what I mean? You want to do this? And which, you know, probably isn't the best advice. But also at the same time, sometimes you just got to take those leaps and take those jumps and just dive in and see what happens.
Yeah. So. I mean, listen, I think that there's something there that I want to kind of like poke at for a second, because I'm in the same space, right? Like I am in this place of scaling, but also like you're only as good as the team around you. And I've got a great set of coaches, but I really need some like back end digital marketing people. And so, like, I need another me that's more technical, that's not the front side of things. And in this search, you know, what you're saying is ringing so true to me, because, you know, you can look for people and interview them cold, but I have found, like you're saying, that you kind of can train the job position, but you can't train that disposition of make it happenness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you found that in Lauren, you're just like, I know that you can learn the other stuff,
but
the attitude of I've got it is priceless. And it's really hard to find in people.
It is.
Because I feel like if you're that much of an I've got it guy or girl, you're kind of doing your own thing, you know. It's like
true.
Not often that like you're an I've got it or make it happen person, and you're willing or able even to do that for someone else and like bear the mantle of their vision and their burden on their behalf. And so I so deeply resonate with that right now. And I think that there's a lot of wisdom. I don't think that that's wrong at all. I think that if you have people that you trust that recommend someone, the quickest thing and best thing you do is just go and, yes, I want to hire you.
Yeah.
Please sign the contract now. So no one else does.
And it's weird. It's wild. It's just wild to see how I'm thinking about each one of them and just how they've come about and been a part of our team and as it's growing. And I really had nothing to do with it. And I, you know, in some ways I'm grateful for it, because maybe it's just the Lord's kindness of like, hey, I know you don't have the time for this, so I'm just going to bring it to you. You know what I'm saying? or I'm just naive in it all. But regardless, just so thankful for each of them. I couldn't, there's no way that I could do this without them. So just eternally grateful for them.
It takes a village. It really does. Mm-hmm. So Brandon, what's like looking ahead, you know, 5, maybe even 10 years, I know you're a dream bigger guy, you know?
Yeah.
So what have you thought of, not just maybe for Phil and Brandon, but for yourself too, in 5 to 10 years, you know, what's your vision for the future? What do you hope and what are you believing that God's going to do?
I really do believe that this journey that I've been on for the last, I'm 37, so I'm not that old. But the last, I would say, it's wild. I mean, 20 plus years in this industry. This is all I've known, is the music industry.
Yeah,
it's all I've ever
same.
Done. This journey of the last 20 some years, I've played almost every role in the music industry outside of working for a label. So I've done touring, I've done the booking thing, and I've done the videographing, I've done the sound stuff, the production stuff, production manager, done it all. And while on that journey of doing it all, I also had the opportunity to start and operate some venture-backed startups, which is wild. This is all pre-kids. I like going back again, like I'm a full-bred entrepreneur, and I wanted to see just how much I could learn and dig into.
Cool.
So I've started a few companies and had a few exits while touring on the weekends. And so it's so wild to think about that during the week, I would be involved in running these multi-million-dollar companies, getting texts and emails about things that are happening on the touring and music side of things that I was involved in, and then go out on the weekends and travel and tour the country, and it just putting on these two different hats. But what I'm so thankful for is because I had a time of wearing both of those hats, it really did prepare me for putting on I guess the one hat of management, because it was like, wow, like I got to operate these large companies. I got to stay in my lane when it came to music and understanding everything that happens in this world. And how, what I'm most excited about is what is currently happening and what I want to continue seeing happening is both of those worlds really colliding together. Taking the experience that I had over here, and moving it into, you know, the business aspect of things and the creative aspect of things. And so I'm very excited to continue to champion that for our current artists, but then also champion that to other managers. I really don't have the desire to sign other artists. What I have the desire to do is to partner with other managers who work with great artists. I believe I have a lot of great things that I could bring to the table for other managers in this space who are, because there's a lot of managers out there that are one person group.
Yeah.
It's just them.
Right.
And they're trying to figure it all out. And maybe they've got a few artists that they're working with. And like, I'd love to find a bunch of those, bring them under our wing, and show them some of the things that we do on our side with a larger team and help champion them and their artists.
Well, that's so scalable though. I mean, that's great.
And, and then outside of that, which I can't believe I'm just saying this now, but I want to do everything I can to be a great husband, to be a great father. My wife, Stephanie, we're coming up on 16 years together, which is incredible.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then our three beautiful children, Ava, Marigold, and William, who I just love so deeply. Just want to do everything I can to love them better, serve them better, and just be the best husband and father and leader that I can for them. And then honestly, I'm excited to continue pushing the limits on the fitness side of things. I do. I love that dearly. I've done ultra running, you know, so I've done those crazy, you know, 50 mile, 100 mile races through the woods, 24 hours, you know, type of thing.
Wow.
I love these different challenges on myself on, you know, whether it's running a 5K every day for a year or doing something that's called the calendar challenge where you run that many miles of whatever the day is. So on day one, you run 1 mile. Day two, you run 2 miles. Day three, you run 3.
No.
And so when you get up into like the higher numbers, yeah, it gets crazy. But
365? You've done 365 miles?
I have. So no. So I run every day for 365 days, a minimum of a 5K.
Okay.
But I've done a full calendar challenge, which is just so it's 1 month. You do
oh,
one full, month.
Okay, yeah, so never yeah, gets yeah. more than 31 miles. But still,
no.
that's like...
Yeah, so you do the 30 and then 31. Those 2 days are pretty brutal. But yeah.
Listen, it's brutal after day five, okay? Like, I'm love to power lift. I'm a big, like...
There you go.
Give me some weights, but
yes.
don't ask me to run, bro.
No.
I'll see you...
I like both. I got really bored in 2020 and all the gyms were closed. And I got really into this one workout called the Murph, which combines both
I've
of
heard
those
of that.
Things. And so you
yes.
do a 1 mile run and then you do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and then do another 1 mile run, all while wearing a 20-pound vest. This is actually my best here. And so
oh
you wear
gosh.
this 20-pound vest and you do that. And it's a pretty brutal workout, but it gave me both like the endurance, you know, bug. And then also the lifting, I do enjoy lifting as well.
Wow.
And so anyway, you didn't ask me this, but a tangent.
That's great.
I was
I love
on 2020,
it.
I got bored and I did a little research and I was curious because I like pushing the limits on things and there wasn't a whole lot happening in 2020. And so I was curious how many somebody's done in 1 day of those workouts.
Yeah.
Like how many Murph workouts has somebody done in 24 hours? And I looked it up and a guy did 16. I was like, you know what? That seems likely. And so I told my wife, I was like, you know what? In 2 days, I think I'm going to go after this world record. And she's like,
in 2 days.
In 2 days. And she's like, oh, yeah, exactly. She's like, here we go. She knows, like, you know, it's not an abnormal thing for me to be like, hey, like, tomorrow I'm going to run 20 miles. You know, I'll probably be going for most of the day, you know, type of thing or whatever.
Wow.
But I went out and for 24 hours straight, I worked out and did this multiple Murph workouts and ended up doing 17, which is wild to say, and
oh my gosh,
broke the record
the
and all the things
record.
Yeah, which is crazy. And so I'm maybe not, you know, maybe I've got a few screws loose up there, but I'm looking forward to continuing to push the limits over these next 5 to 10 years and kind of seeing what we can do. So
I think that you're just someone who loves to do hard things.
I do.
And I think that that's brilliant, you know, because, okay, so for me, when I lift heavy things, I set myself up. It's like I do it first thing in the morning and I'm like, if I can do this impossible thing, then I can do so many other impossible things for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
And it's this like ferocious, tenacious, gritty mentality of like, I will high perform. I will drive harder. I will work longer. And it sets you up for that. Like when you physically do things like you're saying, because mentally that, you know, that's where you stop yourself. Yeah. It's really not in your body. And man, the mental fortitude that you have is extremely impressive. So you're a world record holder, basically.
Yeah.
We should have just started with that, Brandon.
No, I completely agree with you though. So like you were talking, I get up early. My alarm usually goes off. Well, it does go off at 4:30. I hate when my alarm goes off every morning. I don't like getting out of bed. I'd much rather stay in bed. I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
But I force myself to get up. And then I love going straight to the gym. And I love, run. I usually run first thing, try to run anywhere between 3 to 5 miles. And then I love lifting for a good hour or so and just kind of pushing those things. And try to get home before 7 to when my kids start waking up to make them breakfast, and usually home from 7 to 9, and then kind of start my work day at 9. And that is one of those things where, I love knowing that I've done quite a bit, you know, before I've even sat down in my office,
to start that day.
I mean, there's some other crazies out there like you and I, but it's encouraging to know that I've started down that path already. And, it just excites me for what's ahead. And I can relate of like, man, I've already done this, whatever is ahead of me today. I'm sure I could take
exactly.
it on.
So. Sets yourself up for success. I love that, Brandon. You are a make it happen man and an I got it guy and a world record holder. And I just have to say thank you for coming alongside amazing artists and not just partnering with them in business, but partnering with them in life, because I do believe that your approach being so holistic is so needed and so actually underdone in the music industry. So I just pray blessings on you and your artists, now and in the future. I'm excited to follow your journey now that we've spent some time together.
Same.
And just see what God does, you know. I think it's so important in an industry that can be just so dark to spread light and hope and authenticity wherever anyone's willing to listen. So thank you so much for being a facilitator of that and for spending time with me today on Truth with Tara.
Of course. No, it was my pleasure. I actually really enjoyed the conversation. I hope we can do it again
sometime. Me too. Thanks so much for watching, guys. We'll see you on the next one.